Tsai.
Spend the day with Tsai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Radio Tsai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the abode of highest peace, the spiritual capital of the universe. A warm welcome to all of you to today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Well, the time right now in our studio is 6 minutes past 11 a.m. and it's a fine, pleasant morning here at Prashanthi Nilayam. The temperatures have comparatively cooled down and it's a nice weather. Well, with the Guru Purnima festival approaching next month, that is 12th of July, I feel it's a wonderful time for all of you, for whoever wants to come to Prashanthi Nilayam, to come and have Swami's darshan, the darshan of Mahasamadhi. Today is 5th of June 2014. And this is a segment, Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love as Swami, translating into service to humanity. At the very outset, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, the voice and listener of Radio Tsai. Well, talking about collective prayers, I am reminded of a very beautiful incident. This was narrated by Dr. Deepak Anand, the faculty member in the Department of Management Studies in Bhagwan's University here at Prashanthi Nilayam campus. This incident happened when Dr. Deepak Anand was doing his research here at Prashanthi Nilayam in late 1990s. So when he was a student, one day, early in the morning at about 6:30 a.m., Swami came out for darshan. Nobody had expected Swami to come so early that day. So there were very, very few devotees in Sai Kulanth Hall, and Swami came out for darshan, and Swami immediately went inside interview room. And then Swami called for all the research scholars from the university. Well, since it was early in the morning, boys were not ready, but when they got the message, everyone hurried and got ready, and they immediately ran to Sai Kulanth Hall, and they were allowed to go inside the interview room as Swami had called them. So about a dozen of boys, maybe about 10 or 15 of them, were there, and all of them went inside the interview room, and Swami was sitting in his throne, and he had closed his eyes. Once all the boys came inside the interview room and the door was closed, Swami opened his eyes to acknowledge that everybody had come. And then again, he closed his eyes. And then Swami sat with his eyes closed for about 45 minutes. There was no talk. Nobody talked. Swami didn't speak to boys. Boys didn't speak to Swami. Swami just had closed his eyes and he was just sitting for 45 minutes. So after 45 minutes, Swami opened his eyes and he was in his normal with all smiles. Then Swami asked the boys for the day and date of that day. And boys answered. And it seems Swami asked them, "Do you know many years back what happened on this day?" Well, when suddenly Swami asked his question, boys couldn't answer. So they just kept silent. Then it seems Swami said, "See, many years ago, on this very day, on this same day, bombing happened in Hiroshima. The atom bomb was dropped in Hiroshima, and many millions, thousands and lakhs and millions of people died. And today, on memory of that day, thousands of people have gathered in Osaka, Japan, and they have lit a candle, and they are praying to God that such a catastrophe should never happen again in this world. And I went to Osaka, listened to their prayers, and came back. That's why I had closed my eyes for the past 45 minutes. Well, dear listeners, do you see the power of the collective prayer? Now, the people who prayed in Osaka, all of them may not be Sai devotees. Few may be Sai devotees, but those who were not Sai devotees just prayed to their respective gods. They may be Christians, they may be Buddhists, or few Hindus or Muslims, anything. They just prayed to their respective gods, but it was Swami who heard them. So this is the power of prayer, mainly collective prayer. So, after praying to Swami, let us begin today's segment. Today in this segment, I'll be playing for you two seva stories. One story is from the metropolitan city of Mumbai, the seva rendered by Sai volunteers, and another story is from Argentina. So before we get into these two seva stories, let me begin today's segment with a beautiful song composed and sung by Bhagwan students.
Oh, Sai, jiya nahi gaya ab tere bina, oh, Sai.
11:20 a.m. and it's a fine and pleasant morning here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram, the spiritual capital of the universe. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai. And today, as part of the segment, I'll be playing for you few audio documentaries on Seva stories, the first one being the Seva project by the Seva Dal volunteers from Mumbai during the 2005 deluge in Mumbai. So let's listen to this audio documentary.
Mumbai is the financial capital of India, home to entertainment industry, the fashion hub, and even the crime world. Its people, who keep the city going, have never known to slow down, despite natural disasters or even terrorist attacks. However, in mid-2005, even this famed resilience of the people of Mumbai was put to test. Though residents of the city are immune to heavy showers and flooding of roads, Nothing had prepared them for the deluge of 2005. 26th of July 2005 is a day no Mumbai resident can forget. It was a day when the skies opened up like never before. Darkness enveloped the whole city. Rains poured in sheets endlessly and entirely flooded the crowded and congested city.
It was an unprecedented 944 millimeters of rainfall, 70% of which poured within the 12-hour period from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. This was the 8th heaviest ever recorded rainfall figure anywhere in the world. As if the downpour was not enough, the Arabian Sea beside this coastal city was at a high tide during the same period, and this led to flooding of an unforeseen magnitude. As the waters rose, the city's worst nightmare began. Suddenly, the city that never sleeps was grounded to a complete halt.
Entire suburbs went underwater, and people struggled to save not their belongings, but their lives. Homes were flooded and buildings collapsed. Drains overflowed and debris collected on the streets. An hour after the downpour began, cell phone networks crashed. Electricity went out, leaving large parts of the city in darkness. And power supply in certain areas were deliberately switched off to avoid short circuits and electrocution. The local train service, which is the city's lifeline, with its track under 8 feet of water, screeched to a complete halt. In fact, the submerged platforms could have been mistaken for rivers. The city's airport, which is the busiest in the country, was without an airstrip. All flights to and from the airport were cancelled or rescheduled. As all roads were submerged, people walked for hours on narrow strips of raised ground to reach homes. Many stayed back in office, schools, or any shelter they found until the waters receded after 3 long days. People waded through neck-high water for hours to reach their homes, only to find them flooded, their belongings gone, and their families clinging to life by moving to higher parts of the building. It was the biggest challenge the hardy people of Mumbai had ever faced.
However, like every other occasion, after the initial shock and disbelief, Mumbaikars rose to the occasion as one. They were selflessly saving lives and belongings of others. The calamity brought out the best in man. It was a triumph of the human spirit that soared over petty differences. One of the first organizations to rise to the occasion was the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization.
Way back in February 1966, Bhagwan Baba had declared, quote, "Life is best spent alleviating pain, assuaging distress, and promoting peace and joy. The service of man is more valuable than what you call service to God. God has no need of your service. When you serve man, you serve God." Unquote. And the Sai devotees in Mumbai did just that. Like all other acts of service by the Sai organization, this too was done not as a favor or for any personal gain, but purely out of love and compassion towards their own brethren.
As soon as the relief program for the deluge was announced at the Navi Mumbai zone, there was a flood of another kind. A sea of sevadals of all ages from all strata of society assembled at Sai Prem, the Navi Mumbai center of the Sri Satya Sai organization. Food packets, clothes and medicines started pouring in. Sevadals got busy sorting and packing without any thought of their own comfort or needs. Within 2 days after the deluge, Sai devotees organized themselves into groups and panned out to every accessible area of Mumbai that needed help and care. Their first priority was to provide food. A food packet containing rice, pulses, sugar, turmeric, wheat flour, and other essential items for cooking like candles and a matchbox was given to every needy family. More than 1500 such food packets were made and distributed in one day thanks to 50 Sai volunteers who worked through the night at Sai Prem. The packing area was later shifted to Worli in central Mumbai for ease of distribution as it was closer to the affected areas. Here again, 50 Sai workers worked from 9 a.m. to 12 midnight for 6 consecutive days preparing 12,000 such food packets.
Those packets were truly tokens of love, carefully packed and lovingly presented in every shattered slum and every flooded dingy lane of Mumbai that needed aid. Inspired by Sai devotees, members of other organizations too offered to join. Officials of the State Bank of India augmented the supply of food grain, while employees of the HDFC Bank helped to procure medicines. Both these banks chose to associate exclusively with the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization in providing aid to the needy.
Medical aid was as important as food. In the initial days after the deluge, respiratory and gastrointestinal infections were most noticeable among the victims. However, a few days later, signs of epidemic began. Many in the city were diagnosed with leptospirosis and dengue. The Sai organization rose to the new challenge. To prevent the spread of the epidemic in the crowded city, the organization conducted several medical camps across Mumbai. Free medicines and injections were supplied, and Sai doctors traveled from place to place with their teams to provide treatment. Soon, medical camps were held in the outskirts of Mumbai like Kalamborli, New Panvel, Palshet, Gadeshwar and Shiravali. In all these areas, infrastructure and medical facilities was poor.
Thanks to this quick and efficient action, many epidemics were prevented from taking alarming proportions in many areas of Mumbai. Dr. Asha Damodar, one of the doctors who served in the camps, gave us an insight into the seva done.
We went deep into the tribal areas of Yermal and Banachiwari and conducted a camp inside a small hutment with just four of us, one doctor and three sevadals. We managed to attend over 150 patients. This was a really needy place, as people had to walk for hours together to the nearest primary medical facility. They had no roads, no transportation facility, and of course, no money to pay the doctor's fees.
Dr. Damodar recollected treating people with high fever, severe cases of loose motions and vomiting, and also a pregnant woman with paralyzed legs. She further said,
"Nobody is bothered about these people, but for Swami, who could have helped these people in far-off places like these? These villagers were so grateful to us. Soon we developed a good rapport with them. You know, as much as their poverty hits you, their addiction to alcohol and tobacco bothers you. There is so much to be done in these areas. Of course, we did whatever we could do at that point of time."
In Navi Mumbai alone, doctors attended to more than 2,500 patients in the first week of August. The numbers were higher in the Kurla Kalina belt, where 50 doctors worked round the clock in Sai's name. In this manner, medical camps were held at all the major zones and lakhs received aid and support. What kept the Seva volunteers motivated and charged were the many instances of Sai's divine grace during their work.
In Kalina, for example, while all areas surrounding the medical center were submerged in at least 6 feet of water, no water seeped into the hospital where the Sai Sevadals were serving. All the patients were safe and the expensive instruments continued to work perfectly despite the chaos outside. true to its name, the Prashanti Medical Center had become an abode of peace and safety. However, as more and more patients kept lining up, the workers urgently needed an emergency ward at Kadamwadi in East Santa Cruz, a suburban area in northwest Mumbai. To the amazement of the Sai volunteers themselves, everything fell into place effortlessly and a mini hospital was ready within a mere 24 hours. No one could deny divine intervention in this episode.
The services were open 24 hours and doctors, nurses and paramedic staff stretched themselves to attend to everybody who walked in. During the 6 days from 17th to 22nd of August, at least 800 patients were treated here and more than 650 typhoid injections were administered by the Sai team.
In order to reach out to people in all corners of Mumbai, the organization conducted a week-long comprehensive survey of the areas which had large number of patients. After summing up the results, it held simultaneous large-scale camps on 7th August 2005 in 8 principal regions of Mumbai, namely Siyanwadala, Chembur, Mulund, Belbazar, Malad, Kandivili, Borivili and Dahisar. The net outcome was that in a single day, over 8,000 patients received medical aid from the Sai doctors who were assisted by hundreds of Sai workers. About 6,000 food packets were also distributed to the needy in these regions. On the same day, in the Kurla Kalina region, which was one of the worst affected areas, Sai workers gave out utensils, appliances, clothes, books and other necessities to the affected people. At least 650 school children were given blankets, bed sheets, mattresses and notebooks.
The Sai workers did not limit themselves to Mumbai, but reached out to every region across the state of Maharashtra where heavy rains had destroyed life and property. In Pandharpur zone, they distributed 4,000 rotis with curry continuously for 24 hours on a particular day. Medical camps were conducted even in distant places like Dasgaon in Raigarh district, about 130 km from Mumbai. In Raigarh's Mahad Taluk, where 50 people were buried alive and many houses destroyed due to a massive landslide, Sai workers constructed temporary housing for all the unfortunate people in the Kosabi Rawalgaon area. In the Sangli Satara zone, which included the areas of Sikli, Sanwad, Danwad, Bastewad, Kurundwad, Chitrapur and Rajapur, medical camps were held and food packets were distributed for 4 days. A Sai worker said,
"The distress stories of dear ones being lost, of people losing all their possessions, were indeed heartrending."
After any disaster, while food and other material needs can be easily met, the mental and emotional scars are the most difficult to heal. However, with Bhagwan as their guide, the Sai workers had a definite remedy. They gave out Swami's photographs and vibhuti as prasadam to the victims, while at the same time asking them to have faith in God and in the power of prayer. In fact, one Sai worker recounts,
"Along with the medicines, we gave them Swami's photo and vibhuti and asked them to pray fervently and sincerely when in distress. On our next visit, some villagers reported that the dangerously rising water level receded after they prayed to Swami."
The Sai workers served not for ostentation or personal glory, but with the only aim of serving Sai, the Sai who is within each one of us. One of the service coordinators said,
"Our sevaks experienced sheer divine presence when food packets were being distributed from door to door. People welcomed them as if it was Swami who was at their doorstep. Truly, when nature hits thousands, you know, it's God's grace that saves millions."
Baba has said, "God is only a witness in this drama of life, and the good and bad we face are but fruits of our actions. Nevertheless, whenever humanity is faced with a tragedy, God is ever ready to provide solace and succor. As children of God, we too must rise at every opportunity to serve our widespread family. Baba says, quote, "Be alert with the call everywhere at all times. Be ready with a smile, a kind word, a useful suggestion, some well-informed help, a pleasant reply. Look for chances to relieve, to rescue, or resuscitate. Service to society is the primary duty. Concern for the welfare of all is devotion." Unquote.
While nature played out its role, the Sai workers did their duty to offer unconditional help. Only the chosen ones can serve others, and they alone know what an exhilarating experience it is to be chosen as an instrument to serve in the name of Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, what you heard was a story, a Seva story in the form of an audio documentary. And this Seva story is the Seva done by the Sai Seva Dal volunteers Sai devotee during the 2005 deluge in Mumbai. Well, the time right now in our studio is 11:40 a.m. and it's a wonderful and pleasant and fine afternoon here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, the spiritual capital of the world. Before we get on to another Seva story that will be from the country Argentina, I'll be playing for you a beautiful song composed and sung by Swami students.
Allah kahe koi tum.
Was the song Bhagwan in the voice of Brother Ravi Kumar, and this song was from one of the convocation dramas of the Sri Satya Institute of Higher Learning. Well, dear listeners, it's a fine and pleasant day here, Prashant Nilayam Ashram, and the time right now in our studio is 11:45 a.m. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Taking forward this segment, I'll be playing for you now a Seva story by a group of young Argentinians.
What can possibly possess a group of young Argentinians to travel 1,500 kilometers carrying a whopping 7,200 kilograms of relief material in a pickup truck with the sun blazing down at them at 40 degrees Celsius? Here is a true story of committed and selfless Sai youths who travelled mostly on bumpy roads into the woods, into an area called Green Hell. Thanks to its frequent droughts, torrential rains and occasional floods, this region of Argentina is often termed as impenetrable. Here, exotic wildlife, monkeys, tarantulas, wild boars, jaguars, giant armadillos, rattlesnakes and a variety of other poisonous snakes live along with human inhabitants. Whenever anyone suffers a snake bite, their usual fate is death due to lack of medical facilities. Into such an area, tugged deep inside dry bushlands of North Argentina, the Sai youth launched a spiritual adventure to provide much needed essentials of food and clothes, and more importantly, to extend their hand in the true spirit of brotherhood of man. Not only did they spread Bhagwan Baba's message, they distributed his love also unconditionally and enthusiastically.
But let us begin the story of the Seva right from its inception. After the first Sai Youth Conference in Argentina was held in Buenos Aires in 2007, the inspired young brigade was keen to practice what they had learned and were looking for opportunities to be of help. It was at this time that a prominent Argentinian magazine, Clarín, published an article on the severe hardships faced by the native Toba population, also known as the Quam population, about their daily struggle for survival. Hunger, water shortages, poor healthcare and pathetic housing had robbed them of their self-respect and dignity, and were now threatening their very existence. These people lived in the Chaco area of Argentina, which is 1,50,000 square kilometers of poor agricultural land, which is home to mostly native people who had inhabited these parts much before the arrival of the Spanish.
The Sai youth intuitively felt that it was this community to which they needed to reach out and share Bhagwan's love. However, there were a lot of questions to be answered before they began any kind of Seva effort. They were unsure how the project would pan out and had no idea in which area of the vast Chaco woods they would go. But the Sai youth were confident in their hearts that Bhagwan would surely guide them in their selfless pursuit. They were sure that all would fall into place with time, guided by the unseen but all-powerful hand of their Lord, Bhagwan Baba.
As a first step, they began to meet once a week to discuss how the project could take shape. What kind of service should they render? What were the priorities of the Quam people? Who should be involved in this project? They did appropriate research and in subsequent weeks answered every question that came up. Though at times they reached an impasse and some sessions made little progress, nothing dispirited them, as they were confident that Sai was watching them all through the effort and would definitely guide them.
While small steps were being taken in the planning of the project, a valuable offshoot of these frequent interactions was the understanding and unity that blossomed among the youth. They learned to listen, appreciate, and be tolerant of diverse opinions. After this happened, came the crucial turning point in their service project. By divine design, they met Clemente, a Quam chief, who had left his native Chaco with other families many years ago and had been a resident of Buenos Aires for the past 13 years. The good-hearted Clemente, whose heart was always with the people, sent small truckloads of necessary goods into the woods whenever he could. And when the Sai youth talked to him about the needs of the Quam people, he readily shared all his experiences.
He told them how water was scarce and how each community was affected by isolation from each other, and also how, unfortunately, they were all deprived of any of the benefits of civilization. The Sai youth learned that food, clothes and medicines were important requirements for the Quam people, and if they wanted to help these deprived people, they would have to arrange for all these. They also learned about the sufferings and the hardships faced by these people who, in spite of working so hard, did not have even the basic amenities required for living a life of dignity.
But the most important thing on which Clemente emphasized was that the project needed to have a personal touch and needed to build bridges of communication and friendship, as the Quam required the touch of love and kindness even more than the material supplies. The Sai youth were ready for this, as this was perfectly in line with what Swami says, that service should be performed to the common indweller in all. As this struck a note with the Sai group, they vowed to soak the Quam people in love, to give them an idea of the manifold divine love of Swami. Also, they were aware of how much stress Swami places on service being done with love. A Sai youth remarked, "The lamp of love that Swami has lit in our hearts shone brightly that night, and several brothers felt touched by the privations of the Quam people." After this moving experience, the group's enthusiasm soared, and they gathered the needed information, organized logistics, networked, and encouraged each other in the noble service project. The love for their Quam brothers started to flow effortlessly and irrepressibly, and soon became an all-pervading tide. Sai, in his inimitable way, had moved all their hearts, and the divine drama was slowly and beautifully being unfolded.
The moment the project was finalized, donations started pouring in at the Sai center of Yudiyarthi, which was the center of operations. We felt that truly love is everywhere, a Sai youth recalled. First, the clothes arrived. Though supplies were coming in, the group was still worried if they would have enough material for the Quam people. Besides, apart from the clothes, they needed a lorry full of food. And where was this going to come from? It was at this time they received a message that in the nearby suburbs of Buenos Aires, of Pilar and Turkey, there were hundreds of kilograms of donated food awaiting collection from the SAI organization. They immediately understood it was Swami helping them from so many thousands of miles away. They were overwhelmed by this expression of His grace.
In fact, this love food continued to arrive in such enormous quantities that soon there was no room to store it. The Sai Center was being refurbished as Swami's birthday was approaching. So, they had to find room in people's homes, in every corner, on the floor, and sometimes up to the roof to store this food. As word of the noble intentions of the Satya Sai organization spread, the group could only watch in amazement at the flood of supplies arriving. To watch the manifestation of love of thousands of brothers and sisters united under one objective was an overwhelming experience. They were stunned in gratitude to Bhagwan Baba, who was ensuring that the Guam people would receive adequately from his abundance.
The next step was organizing the donations, and for this many eager hands joined in. We should offer to others only that what we would offer to our own family, says Swami. And these words were ringing in the ears of the Sai volunteers as they selected clothes that were in good condition and divided them to suit men, women, children and infants. Donations like shoes were grouped in pairs, discarding all that were in bad condition. Even though they sorted several bags per hour, they always had more waiting as the donations just kept pouring in.
Arranging the food donations also was a massive task, but the team joyfully got down to it as they knew that their efforts would give happiness to others. Clemente had remarked that most of the needy families numbered about 10 each. Accordingly, the Sai volunteers tried to calculate the right quantities of flour, balanced with appropriate measures of grain, protein and legumes for each family. Large heaps of polenta, rice, sugar and lentils were sitting on the floor of the Sai Center waiting to be placed into boxes, which were of several sizes and had to be filled equally. The Sai Center was transformed into a packaging center, and every evening after work, the select group of volunteers responsible for packing gathered and worked till dawn. As many of them had day jobs, they were exhausted, but fired with enthusiasm, they wanted to give their very best.
As the day of departure approached, there was still much to be done. One night, it was already 11:30 p.m. and at least 200 boxes remained to be filled. Overwhelmed with the enormity of uncompleted work, the Sai volunteers prayed to Bhagwan Baba, "Swami, please do it yourself. It is impossible for us to do in a few hours what we could not accomplish in several days." And the Lord did help. In a couple of hours, purely by His grace, they had completed the mammoth task of assembling more than 200 boxes. On the penultimate day, when they had finished labeling the boxes and everyone was relaxed and happy, they received a shock. The lorry form that was to take all the items to Castelli, the big town which was to be a stop-off point on the way, cancelled the trip. In a panic, the Sai volunteers started searching for an alternative. With Swami's grace, they found a transport company, but this one was willing to take them only up to Resistencia, the capital of Chaco. From there, their destination was another 300 kilometers to Castelli and a further 60 kilometers through the woods to the destination. Hectic telephoning worked out the necessary connections and logistical adjustments. For lack of a better alternative, the Sai volunteers accepted the condition of the lorry company and waited eagerly for the lorry to arrive the next day. When it finally arrived, 2 hours late, a group of Sai volunteers made a line and loaded everything into the lorry. The Sai youth were happy they had faced the challenge and reacted spontaneously to the best of their ability. They did not complain, but loved the Lord's uncertainty. And thanks to the Lord, the work was completed smoothly.
There were many enthusiastic people who wanted to undertake the long journey to meet and distribute the items to the Quam. But given the lack of information about exact conditions of the Chako outback, the organizing group evaluated who might make the arduous journey. And they decided on 10 volunteers who would make the journey. The rest of the people accepted the decision, recognizing that they were all Swami's instruments, none more important than the other, and that each one of them was playing his or her role in Bhagwan's work, depending upon their suitability and his will.
The first group departed from Retiro station on a Thursday afternoon. The second on Friday morning from Uriarte Sai Center for Resistencia Town, where they would offload the donations from the truck that brought them and load them to a new one that was bound for Castelli. During the journey, a devotee from Lincoln related an amazing incident. When he had decided to join and help the project, Swami had given him a most enigmatic and meaningful dream. The Lord had walked up to him, wearing his usual orange robe, but his face was that of a native with green eyes. He had then changed back to his usual form that we know and love so well, and then just vanished into the woods. Everyone was moved on hearing this account, and they took this as Swami's blessings for the sacred service that they were going to start.
The first group arrived at Resistencia next day afternoon in the midst of the Chako siesta. There they were joined by a couple from missions who were parents of one of the girls involved in the seva. Then they went to a petrol station where there was enough space to unload the truck and reloaded all the material into another one that was continuing the trip to Castelli by itself. In an astonishing feat, 5 men made the transfer of 7,200 kgs of clothes and food in 2.5 hours. The other part of the group arrived at Castelli that night.
The following day, it was an early rise for all the volunteers. They left Resistencia at 4 a.m. In Castelli, the team met up with the heavily laden lorry and continued to the final destination. But as they traveled, they were haunted by another problem. The driver of the lorry had agreed to take them only till a place called Via Bermejito. The Sai volunteers had no idea what they would do after that and how they would reach their destination. They took the only way out of the difficulty that they knew, praying to Swami for help. And as they prayed, in yet another instance of Swami's grace and blessings for their selfless seva, the driver, who got to know of their noble purpose for which his services were required, agreed to go all along the way into the bushland and stay with them throughout the day. The group felt really touched by this gesture. For them, it was Swami who was pulling the strings. They wanted to express their gratitude to their Sai. And at the entrance of Via Bermejito, all of them stopped at the side of the road, held hands, and thanked and prayed to the Lord. They prayed to the Lord to continue to guide and protect them.
Swami blessed the group with a very hot and sunny day, allaying any fears of bad weather from a previous forecast. Rain would have made the work much more difficult, making the roads muddy and creating streams and rivulets along the way. Clemente had warned the group that if it rained, it might take a week for conditions to improve enough for them to able to leave the woods. However, Swami made sure that no such problem arose. When they reached their first stop, the community of Nueva Poblacion, they were shocked to see the poverty and plight of the inhabitants. The 600 inhabitants that lived there were extremely poor. The nearest drinking water was at least a kilometer hike up the difficult terrain, and though there were power lines, there were frequent cuts. As far as medical relief was concerned, a doctor visited them once a month, but never had any medicines with him. They had to travel 60 kilometers by foot to reach the nearest health center whenever anybody was stung by a poisonous insect or snake, and more often than not, the patient died on the way. With no phones and no buses visiting the area, there was no way they could communicate with the world outside. These indigenous people had established themselves in that region before the arrival of the Spanish and had not moved ever since. They planted maize and made a little money making bags and baskets which they could sell only for less than a dollar each.
As they arrived, Clemente saw a group of men gathered under the shadow of a tree. He approached them and introduced the Sai volunteers. As each one of the group of men mentioned his name, the Sai volunteers took the hands of the Nueva Poblacion men in their hands as a sign of friendship. The feel of those hands, leathered by the sun, wind and physical hardships, conveyed immediately their struggle to survive and make a living. Then the women of the village arrived from the back of the little hamlet in a group. Incredibly, it was they who began the giving first. They offered the volunteers baskets made by their own hands, which must have taken days of work. This was a very poignant moment for the Sai youth. They were moved to see how those who had less were willing to give from what little they had. The Sai youth then offered sweets to all, especially the children. There was so much palpable love all around that no barriers of age, color, race or language remained. It was completely heart to heart.
Nearly everybody in the village spoke Guam and Spanish, especially the younger generation, which made communication easy. After the introduction, the volunteers started unloading the supplies. The huts in the village were built surrounding a church, which was the center of the community. The packed boxes had to be put neatly at the entrance of this church and covered with tarpaulin awaiting distribution. The natives eagerly helped them in this, and a row of men was formed to pass things hand to hand from the truck to this place. And what happened next was a joy to see. The people of Nueva Poblacion formed a circle and started to sing in praise to the Lord. With time, many had converted to Christianity, and so they soulfully sang some church songs. Then the Sai volunteers joined in with some Sai bhajans and told them about Bhagwan Baba and how it was actually he who had arranged the supplies which they were distributing, and also how they themselves were motivated to do seva only by the teachings of Swami. They told the natives that Swami says that hands that serve are holier than lips that pray, and also that the joy one gets while promoting another's joy is incomparable. The Quam people were thrilled to hear this and were full of questions about Swami. They could not believe that someone could be as loving and as compassionate as Swami.
While this was happening, a volunteer doctor attended to a few Quam people and gave medicines for their skin ailments. Also, one of the lady volunteers talked with Quam women and they shared their problems with respect to making of their handicrafts, requirements of hard needles, matches, etc., and also distribution and sale of their creations. The Sai volunteers resolved to do something about these problems. The experience of meeting the kind-hearted Quam was thrilling to say the least for the volunteers. But they had to deliver half of their boxes to people who were even more deprived. So they returned to their vehicles and with Clemente guiding them, went further inside the woods. Then followed 3 hours of dusty and bumpy roads with broken bridges and several stops to keep together and ensure that they did not get lost.
The next halt was a hamlet bigger in size than Nueva Poblacion. The people there were not as moody as those at the first destination. They had several brick buildings and a tractor, and since their need did not seem so great, the volunteers distributed only a few boxes. On their way back to Nueva Poblacion, the volunteers began their own form of Narayan Seva, stopping at 3 more villages on the way and visiting each and every house of the villages. The people would come out and gather around to receive food, clothes, toys and medicines. The marks of years of hardships and deprivation were very evident. They were very grateful for the supplies the Sai volunteers distributed, but were even more touched by the love with which the giving was done. Again and again, they took their hands and thanked them, reluctant to let go of this stream of love. The Sai volunteers told them about Swami and to be grateful to him for everything. When the last box came down from the truck and not even a grain of rice was left, the Sai volunteers rejoiced as Swami had made everything last until each and every needy person had received something. Nobody went home empty-handed or with an empty heart.
When the Sai youth made it back to Nueva Poblacion, they were surprised to see that the people had not distributed anything from the boxes. They were waiting for the group of Sai volunteers. They were in fact singing a beautiful song, "Thank God for your coming," for the volunteers. Then, after this, they formed a line and the volunteers called each one of them individually and placed the boxes lovingly in their hands.
Later, as the group of Sai youth said farewell to the people of the village, it was truly a moving sight as they embraced the natives. Many of the natives broke down and said no one had ever showered so much love upon them. The children, in fact, wanted to go back with the Sai volunteers as they had made such good friends. The villagers asked about all the people who cared about them and had donated items and wished that they could come to their village so that they could offer their gratitude to them. When the group left the Quams, the hearts of the natives were overflowing with love for Swami. The Sai volunteers too had their hearts full of love and gratitude to Swami for giving them the opportunity to experience the pleasure of selfless giving. For many of them, it was an experience that changed their lives forever. Bhagwan Baba says, service is the highest spiritual discipline. Prayer and meditation or knowledge of scripture and Vedanta cannot help you reach the goal as quickly as service can. Service has a double effect. It extinguishes the ego and gives bliss. And many of the Sai youth were already experiencing this bliss of being useful to others.
2 weeks after the trip, all the Sai youth met again, and those who had traveled into the woods shared their experiences in Chako. They gave the baskets lovingly given by the Kuom people to all the Sai brothers and sisters who had not traveled with them, and then discussed ways in which the project could continue. They now wanted to go even further and do sustainable projects for the Kuoms. They discussed how they could help to tackle the disease El Mal de Chagas, which was spread by parasitic insects and which could cause heart attacks. In fact, they have already started a water project to supply water to the village for drinking as well as for irrigation.
What started as a trickle of an idea has today become a river of love, flowing spontaneously and joyously from the dedicated and selfless Sai workers to the deprived and the forlorn. It has once again demonstrated how any selfless service activity, however impossible it may seem, needs only a noble intention. Because once the motive is pure, Bhagwan Baba automatically takes over, and the result of the exercise can be nothing but an uplifting sense of contentment and bliss. Meanwhile, when the youth of Argentina count their blessings, they always count twice: the blessing of being able to serve in the sacred name of Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. p.m. A fine and pleasant afternoon here at Prashant Nilayam Ashram with a perfect picture weather condition. This is the segment Service Love in Action, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Well, till now you heard a wonderful Seva story by the young Argentinians, and this came to you as part of as a segment, and you can please email us your feedback and comments about this. This is an audio documentary, and you can listen to such many other audio documentaries on various Seva projects. What you have to do is go to our website, radiosai.org, and you can download this audio documentary. Dear listeners, talking about Seva, just a couple of minutes back, Brother Hari narrated a wonderful incident to me, and I just want to share with you all this incident. This happened during the time of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. It seems there was a doctor, and he used to do his profession very well, very sincerely and in a disciplined manner. But whatever it is, he was not experiencing an everlasting happiness and joy. He used to serve the poor patients. That is, he used to give them medicine and for their ailments, but he used to collect money, being that his profession. So one day he went to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and poured out his heart and told him, "O Guru, O Lord, whatever I do, I am not finding the real happiness of life, a real fulfillment and satisfaction in life. I am serving, I am giving medicine to the poor patients, and I am curing their ailments, but still I am not finding a lasting happiness. For this, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa gave a simple answer. He told, "See, as a profession, being a doctor, you are helping the poor patients, poor people. But once in a week, one day in a week, you make a point not to collect money. That is, one day in a week, you do free service." So this doctor goes back to his clinic and he decides to do free service one day in a week. And after a few weeks, he comes back to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and he will be very happy. He says, "Oh Lord, I have found what happiness is. I have experienced true happiness, true satisfaction." In fact, he says that he, after doing free service one day in a week, he started doing 2 days in a week also. So, dear listeners, you see, Swami has often said, "Manav seva is madhava seva," that is, service to man is service to God. In fact, it is said, "Paropakarartham idam shariram," that this very human body is given to us to serve others. Now, what are the benefits of service? The happiness that we get through service is invaluable. It has to be experienced rather than said. In fact, talking about this, I am reminded of another incident which was enacted in Sai Kulanth Hall as in the form of a drama in the Divine Presence. And this incident is about, this drama was about the SSS VIP, that is the Sri Satya Sai Village Integrated Program. Well, many of you may be aware of this SSS VIP. This is an initiative that Swami had taken as part of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization, where a structured and detailed seva will be done to the villages of India. So in this drama, there will be a father and son. The son is Rakesh, and he will be a very intelligent boy, but he will be very worldly and materialistic. In fact, he will be very spendthrift. And his father was a Swami's devotee, and he will see that his son Rakesh is not going in the correct path. So one day he will ask his son Rakesh, who will be very arrogant as well, "Son, what do you want to become in life?" Then his son Rakesh will say, "Dad, I want to become a VIP in life, that is, very important person. I want to gain a lot of money, I want to have a lot of fame and name in society. So I want to become a very big VIP in my life." Well, listening to this, his father was not so happy. He feels that his son is going in a wrong path. So to bring his son back to right path, he thinks of an idea. His friend's son will be Rakesh's friend, and his friend will be going to SSS VIP program every week. So he tells his son, "See son, your friend goes to village service every week, every Sunday. At least one Sunday you accompany him and just go to a village and see what they're doing." Well, Rakesh was not so interested, but after his father's insistent, one Sunday he goes with his friend to village service. And he comes back. And after coming back, he feels very satisfied. And next Sunday, again he goes with his friend to village service. So after that, every Sunday he starts going to village service. And in fact, he becomes very involved in it. So after a few months, Rakesh's father sees some changes in Rakesh's attitude and behavior. So one day again he asks him, "Son, what do you want to become in life?" Now this time Rakesh answers his dad and he says, "Dad, now I want to become VVIP in life, double VIP in life. Now, listening to this, his father will be puzzled and he says, "What? You want to become a very, very important person in life?" Then Ragesh says, "No, Dad. By saying that I want to become a double VIP in life, what I meant was, I want to become VIP, VIP. That is, very involved person in village integrated program." So this was the change that was seen in Rakesh, and it was depicted in the form of a drama in Cyclone Hall in Divine Presence. So you see, dear listeners, the benefits of seva, the satisfaction, the happiness, the bliss that we get when we're involved in service activities is something that has to be experienced. It can't be said, it can't be just said in words. So wherever you are, dear listeners, if you are already involved in service activities, then it's well and good. But if you're not involved in service activities, just go to a village and see their condition. Or if any of your friends are involved in service activities, go with them to Grama Seva and see what they do. It will bring a lot of change in life. So the time in our studio is 12:20 and it's time for me to sign off in a while from now. After listening to a few songs that I'll be playing, you will be joined by Brother Prem and Arvind for today's afternoon session. So placing this segment at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet, I sign off for today. So meet you again next Thursday, and I'm sure and I promise you to bring a new Seva story. Till then, Jai Sai Ram.
Hridayava మౌనమై పుట్టి వేణువై పాడే స్వర శివా రూరు సకలం సర్వం నీవే హృదయవా మనిషిలో స్వర్ణవా స్వర్గవా చిరుగాలిలా దరి చేరిన మోహనమా రూరు చిరు జల్లులే కురిపించిన శ్రావణమా సకలం సైవం నీవే హృదయమా హృదయమా మనిషికై వెలసిన మధురమా జగమై వచ్చి తేనెలే పంచే ఓ వరవా మౌనమై పుట్టి వేణువై పాడే స్వర సీమా సకలం సర్వం నీవే
ప్రేమ చిరు దీపమై నిలవాలని మా ప్రేమ సెలయేరున నీ దరికి చేరాలని విరిచే